What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogermeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now with our Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, the draft is in the books. The Chargers had a very up and down draft, in my opinion. There's a lot of things to be excited about as far as the Chargers draft picks. I mean, a guy we talked about before in Nazir Adderley ends up going to the Chargers in the second round, and they have a few guys that we scouted. We scouted Nazir Adderley, Jerry Tillery, Cortez Broughton. So there was a lot of familiar names there, and then absolutely some very unfamiliar names. So on today's show, we're going to go over all of the picks from the 2019 draft and just give you a quick synopsis of how we feel, if we like it, if we don't like it, about the guys they selected, before getting more in depth on other shows with it. But today we're going to talk about every pick from the 2019 draft, and then we're going to end the show with the undrafted free agents brought on by the Chargers this year. We all know the streak of the Chargers. Every season over the last basically 30 years have had an undrafted free agent make the opening day roster. So we have the new list of guys. It's pretty underwhelming so far, but we'll talk about that a little bit to end the show. So, all right, guys, we already talked about Jerry Tillery. I think we were all on board with that pick as far as Tillery as a player. We all liked what we saw from him. There were other guys we thought we might rather have them pick. But in the second round, John, I think they did a great job when they selected Nazir Adderley, the safety out of Delaware, a guy that we were talking about potentially as a first-round pick, and he slid all the way to the Chargers at 60 in the second round, and that was maybe the most exciting part of the draft process.
It was. We were all thinking he was going to go first round, and I personally didn't really want him as a first-round pick just because I felt like there was better safety value in other picks, but with him falling to the second round, that made him a lot more valuable pick. And now we have our free safety who is very versatile, is fast and can cover the whole field and is really athletic. And we only got him for a second round pick, even though he's predicted to go in the first round. The fact that he fell to us, but he was probably, I want to say, top 10 ranked players left in the draft to start the second round is amazing.
It really was amazing, and I just loved what I saw from Nazir Adderley when we were breaking him down. I mean, it was just such a tough thing to decide whether you wanted him in the first round because there were so many talented guys at the end of the first, and then Nazir Adderley drops to the late second round. I mean, David, it was just super surprising to see a guy with those kind of skills and that talent that obviously transcended the FCS level land with the Chargers at 60s. It might be my favorite pick from the draft.
Yeah, I don't think you were exactly looking for a safety, I mean, that early, but when you have a guy of that talent level fall to you in that position, you have absolutely no choice but to take him and really just love the pick. I mean, just imagine pairing this guy at free safety or a strong safety, because I believe Derwin James and Nazir Adderley are both interchangeable in that respect. You're gonna see some really, really good safety play for years and years to come. And hey, we always thought that Tom Telesco did not really put a premium on the safety position, but he uses last year's first round pick on the safety and this year's second round pick on a safety. So seems like he's got that position sewn up for a long time, and I cannot wait to watch it.
Yeah, I think most, you know, analysts had him as like a top three safety in this draft. So, I mean, to see him go to the second round, it didn't seem like they were just doing it to fill a need. And I think that was the most exciting part, is they got someone whose talent actually met value at that pick. If you got him at 28, you would maybe like the pick, but you wouldn't love the value as much as getting him late in the second round. I mean, just so exciting to think about that, David, the versatility, the fact that you could probably interchange these guys on any given play and not know which one is lining up there, which is just something that you never were able to do with the fill-ins that they've had, like Jahlil Adai, obviously, last year. He was playing out of position, but now you have a guy who's actually a true free safety, can actually line up probably a nickel corner if you have to, really good in coverage, really good tackler. I mean, the guy just is such an exciting player to watch and just always looked on every game that I watched like he was much better than the talent that was surrounding him at the FCS level. So excited to get talk about Nasir Adderley more later on, and really excited about that pick. But the question is, was it enough to make you feel any better about what happened in the third round? Because in the third round, the Chargers made one of the picks that has kind of made the third round famous for anyone that follows the Chargers and has seen what they've done with that pick basically since Keenan Allen, which is, you know, a rotation of offensive linemen that didn't pan out. Dan Feeney has been pretty bad. Still a little soon, I guess, to call the books on him. And Justin Jones only has 1 year, but really failed to make an impact last year as a first-year player, which we thought might happen. But, John, I know that you were one of the biggest critics of Justin Jones because you really did not like that pick. I'm guessing when you saw Trey Pipkins in the third round, offensive tackle out of Sioux Falls, I'm guessing, well, I know that your reaction was not great.
It wasn't. That was a reach, a big reach in my mind. I don't know why we went for him in the third round. You could have gone for him fourth round and got way better pick in the third round, or you could have just went for a better offensive tackle that were there. It makes no sense. The guy's really big. He's pretty athletic, but that's about it. His hands are pretty wide. I remember scouting him when I was trying to see if maybe we could find that diamond in the rough offensive line, when I ended up finding Aldo Udo. And I watched him and I was like, okay, yeah, he's big, but his hands are like way outside on the defender's shoulders. Like all I got to do is slap your hands up in the air and you're falling over. And his read and react wasn't always the greatest either. He was kind of slow to reacting to moves by a defensive end. So the fact that we got him in the third round is really bad in my opinion.
Yeah, and obviously we can't really call these guys busts yet. You don't know what they're going to actually end up doing or how much they're going to play. But, I mean, we've seen guys like, you know, Chris Watt, Max Turk never even get on the football field. So you hope that this guy will be able to turn into something. It just doesn't look great right now. Obviously, he's a Division II player, which, you know, is a red flag to some people. I'm playing against a very inferior competition, but I mean, the one thing I will say is, you know, the things I've seen about this guy, he's only given up 2 sacks in his career in college and supposedly lit up the East-West Shrine game. So against pretty good competition and really good defensive linemen. So you have to think that played into it, David. But at the same time, this guy from the surface looks like a developmental project. And that's not really what you wanted with Sam Tevi as your starting right tackle. So I don't know if it's easy to justify this pick just yet. This is a guy that's going to absolutely have to prove it on the field before anyone is going to buy in on it, because it seems like a questionable move.
Definitely seems questionable, because, I mean, when this pick first comes up, pops up on the screen, you're like, who the hell is this guy? I mean, it just seems like they've done this in the third round like 4 or 5 times. It just, I don't understand. I mean, did Tom Telesco fall asleep when the third round pick is being submitted or what? I just don't know. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'm optimistic guy, so I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to allow them to show me what they can do on the football field. But from the surface, it just seems like a crazy out of this world third round pick. I mean, it just seems like this is another guy that was not expecting a phone call when he got this phone call. So, hey, we'll see what Mr. Pipkins can do, but I'm definitely on the John train with this one. I'm very, very skeptical.
Yeah, and the other thing, I mean, teams do reach for offensive tackle. There are some other guys that were available there that I think most people thought more highly of, a guy like Bobby Evans or Yadni Kajust, who was, I mean, really a second-round pick for more of the draft process. So there was just a really questionable move. I mean, we saw Titus Howard go in the first round. So, I mean, their teams definitely do this kind of thing. Another guy is Chuma Adoga.
Insane.
A guy from USC that a lot of people had maybe going to the Chargers in later rounds. But I think the biggest thing is, hey, even if you wanted this guy, I mean, unless there's some intel that you knew that someone else right behind you was going to try to take him, I don't think a single offensive tackle went in the fourth round. So to see this guy get picked here, it just seems like a reach, and I just don't think there's any way around it. Hopefully he proves this all wrong, but I don't think any of us were especially high on the pick. And another questionable pick, a lesser-known guy, came in the fourth round when the Chargers decided to take Notre Dame linebacker Drew Tranquill, a guy who played safety early on in his career and ended up switching to kind of a rover linebacker position at USC. Played a very versatile role, David, so you kind of see what they're going for here in this pick. A guy that had two torn ACLs, so you don't love to see that. But they're picking another Notre Dame player. It just seems crazy. So many Notre Dame players by the Chargers in their drafts. I mean, this guy, though, I don't really know what to think of him as a player yet, but I definitely saw what they were going for, trying to get a linebacker in the fourth.
Yeah, I mean, he's a small guy, got really good speed. Like you said, he's a former safety, so he has really good coverage skills. I think that's really going to be his role for this team. I think he's going to be the guy covering the running backs. He's too small to really give you too much in run support. He brings good leadership. You know, he's a multiple-time captain there, was a multiple-time captain at Notre Dame. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is just going to be a really specific role-type player. Bring him in to go cover those guys and let him do what he does best. Outside that, I'm not sure what use is going to be for him.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he has pretty good measurables. He ran a decent 40 time. He put up a crazy bench press number. He did 31 reps on the bench press. That definitely stood out to me, that kind of strength for a guy that I didn't necessarily think had it. But definitely put in a stat-filled season at Notre Dame with 86 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, and 4 pass breakups. So you definitely see some of the versatility, but John, it's not necessarily a guy I think any of us think is going to come in and start right away. It's just probably some depth at the linebacker position and a special teams player at first.
I don't see this guy starting ever, really, unless there's an injury during the season. He has no choice but to start. He has good speed, but he doesn't really get to the corner really well to the sideline, I should say. When it comes to pursuit angles, he's not really great when it comes there, so that kind of worries me. You have speed, but yet you don't have angles. And then he can cover tight ends pretty well, but other than that, he doesn't really cover anything else that well. And like you mentioned earlier, he has injury issues before, so we already have that issue with Denzel Perryman, and now we're drafting a guy to be his backup that has the same issue. That alone worries me. I did read in some of his profiles that he was really good at kick and punt coverage. So if we got this guy just for that reason, then, I mean, I guess we got some value out of this pick. But in the fourth round, not really.
I think they obviously have to think that at some point he could play linebacker and get time on this team, at least to justify a fourth round pick. I don't think you're necessarily taking a special teams player with a pick like that. So they obviously think he can give, you know, some kind of value to the team.
Roberto Aguayo of punt coverage.
Yes, I get what you're saying now. Yeah, you overdraft somebody just to play special teams. I don't think that's necessarily what it is. They obviously can't think that, because I don't think Tom Telesco would be that dumb to try to take a special teams player like that in the fourth round. So hopefully they're right. I mean, seemed like a pretty good player, but I think a lot is yet to be seen whether he can make the leap at the next level. I saw some places having him ranked as the fourth best linebacker. So, I mean, if you believe those people, you think it's a pretty good pick, but I think there's a lot to be determined left with Drew Tranquill. I have to prove it on the field. So let's move on to the fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks coming up right after this. All right, guys, it's time to continue our coverage of the 2019 draft and move into the rounds 5, 6, and 7. Finish up the fourth round with Drew Tranquill. So that means we're starting with the fifth round pick, Easton Stick, North Dakota State quarterback. John, I know that you had the Chargers picking him in your mock draft in the seventh round. So what did you see from Easton Stick? Do you think the fifth round might have been a reach for him?
I would definitely say it was a reach, unless maybe someone was looking to get them and the Chargers really wanted him. I don't know exactly what the Chargers were seeing there, but I do think it was a reach, but I also don't think it was entirely a bad pickup. This guy from the pocket had over 120 points, an over 120 passer rating from in the pocket, which I believe was only second to Kyler Murray. So I feel he could be someone that you could develop, and if you don't develop, you didn't waste too much on him. And if he does develop, you got yourself a diamond in the rough quarterback, kind of like what Tom Brady was. He's also elusive. He had a really good speed. He had a somewhere in the 4.6 area.
Yeah, 4.6, 240.
There you go, right there. So, but he relied on being elusive in college, which you're not going to be in the NFL most of the time. So hopefully he can learn to just take what he gets and slide, not try to do a spin move or a juke move and then just get absolutely destroyed and then he's out of the game. That's something he's got to learn. I don't think this is entirely a bad quarterback pickup. As long as we didn't get Ryan Finley, I feel like we're fine.
I think this guy definitely has some bigger upside. And I think you see Anthony Lynn a lot in this pick, David. I mean, especially when you look at what this guy was able to do with his legs. I mean, obviously you're picking a winner, a guy that won the national title for the FCS last year and won the Walter Payton Award for the top FCS player. Hey, that includes guys like Kalen Saunders and Nazir Adderley and some other, you know, pretty good players that we talked about. He won that award. Obviously, it's a quarterback type of award, but a guy that can kind of run that read option, a guy that is at least a mobile threat. You see that a little bit with Tyrod Taylor. So it looks like Anthony Lynn has a type with his quarterbacks.
Yeah, he likes guys that can move around and still can throw the ball. I mean, and hey, he also likes winners. I mean, that's one big thing I think is attractive about Easton Stick. I mean, he won a national championship. He won a lot of games while he was in college. And, you know, it's a guy, like you said, is a mobile type of quarterback. So, you know, if you're looking for what type of quarterback, you know, might replace Phillip Rivers whenever that time comes, it might be a guy who can hurt you on the ground as well with his, as well as his arm.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not to say, yeah, his arm wasn't good. He threw for 28 passing touchdowns and only 7 interceptions last year. But, I mean, when you look at those numbers put together, I mean, 45 combined touchdowns last year is a pretty ridiculous number. So this guy definitely did it all. I know the obvious comparison is Carson Wentz, and this guy is 6'1", 224. So he's definitely not Carson Wentz, but, I mean, I talk about maybe a winner.
Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I think maybe a less athletic – lesser armed Russell Wilson, I could probably buy in on, but I think at his size, at 6'1", that's kind of what you have to hope for. I mean, a guy, you know, even like Tyrod Taylor. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is not an overly athletic quarterback. I think their measurables are pretty similar. I think that's kind of what kind of quarterback he could be at the high end, on obviously, but definitely a developmental player. And you knew the Chargers were going to at least probably spend one pick on a quarterback, but I kind of think it shows you how iffy they are on actually trying to get Phillip Rivers' replacement without spending too much on it. So this right now is the backup plan, and the Chargers, at least for now, look like they're going to have 3 quarterbacks on their roster. But let's move into the 6th round pick, where the Chargers selected Emeka Igboole out of Houston, an outside linebacker. Not necessarily a position of need, David, but they saw a guy who they thought had tremendous value there. A guy who a lot of people had as maybe, you know, a possible 3rd or 4th round pick, early 4th round pick. And the Chargers picked him up in the 6th round. So it makes me think, since that's not such a need, you did have Kyle Emanuel leave, and now you really only have Uchenna Nwosu. So I think this guy is more of a linebacker to be in that room behind Uchenna Nwosu.
Yeah, so I watched a little bit of tape on Igboole and seemed like he's pretty physical. He definitely does not have any problems getting in there and run support. He played a little bit of coverage as well, but I think he's at his best when he is tackling ball carriers. He does provide a little bit of pass rush. I saw him get after the quarterback a couple of times, but he's a physical presence. So, I mean, he's a good, I think a good guy to play that auto, that outside linebacker role, or, you know, to back up in Wosu. I think, you know, it's just good depth there. So I think that's really what you're going to see his role be going forward.
Yeah, and the pick just makes sense. He's a guy that filled the stat sheet last year, 69 tackles, 5.5 for loss, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions, 5 pass breakups, and 2 forced fumbles. John, it just seems like this is just a well-rounded player that the Chargers ended up picking up in the 6th round.
Well, when watching him, I feel like he could be maybe another Da'Tavius Brown. I don't even know if he's going to really play outside linebacker. I feel like he's just going to be in the inside linebacker roles, or even just a hybrid. Maybe he could even be a hybrid, kind of like what Adrian Phillips is. I'm not saying he's going to be the safety, but there was times where he lined up all the way out on the slot and was actually covering the wide receiver, not waiting where like Bosa and Ingram would be up by the tackle and then rolling out to be in zone. Like, he was lined up man-to-man on a slot receiver and taking him, and he did that lots of times. So I'm wondering if they have a different position in mind for him when they drafted him, not to just be the outside linebacker. He does worry me because he's not constantly aggressive. He's not that real physical guy constantly. He can be, but he's not constantly that that physical guy. So if he's going to be just strictly outside linebacker, he has to get more aggressive on that. But his coverage skills are really good. And if we can make him more of a hybrid type or even just the Tavius Brown's type of position, I think he could be fine.
Yeah, I think to me, I mean, Uchenna Nwosu doesn't necessarily bring you a lot in coverage. So to have an outside linebacker that actually plays that position and would be better in coverage, I think is a good fit. I mean, it's a sixth round pick, and Chargers have had a couple sixth round picks be successful, but historically it's not a position that usually comes in and makes great strides and has a great impact. But I definitely think this is a guy that could end up getting some playing time with the right coaching. And if he develops the right way with a full off-season training camp and activity. So I'm excited to see what this guy can do. Seemed like he's pretty highly regarded by not only his team, but analysts as well, as far as what kind of player he is. So definitely a mystery there, but I think it was probably good value, at least compared to where people thought he would end up in the draft. And that leads us to the favorite guy that I had in this draft as far as a late round pick, and that is Cortez Broughton, the defensive tackle out of Cincinnati, a guy that I talked about in our sleepers part of the show last week. And I was super excited, John, to see this guy last till the seventh round. I mean, he was a guy that we knew wasn't, you know, the complete package, but thought he was maybe a fifth or sixth round pick. And the Chargers were able to double dip and bring in some more depth to that defensive line in the seventh round.
I got to give you major props. When we did the sleeper pick segment, you picked him as your sleeper and got him. I got to give you major props for that one, man. This, and what a pickup it is, too. In the seventh round, we got ourselves a nice little developmental defensive lineman who is also powerful. So we like to hope that this is our future at defensive tackle when Brandon Mebane leaves, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if they might go somewhere else with that, because who knows how long he stays on the team. Who knows if he actually fits. But as of right now, I'm looking at that pick as a really good valued pick. I want to say it's my third favorite pick out of this draft behind Tillery and Adderley.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think, David, what this pick is, I mean, obviously this is a guy we talked about before who, I mean, has great athleticism, has a great get off and huge first step, had 7.5 sacks and 18.5 tackles for loss last season, but was kind of a one-year wonder. But I just love, just in this draft in general, the amount of talent that they've added to that defensive tackle position. I mean, say what you want about addressing the offensive line, but the Chargers had a glaring need at defensive tackle, and I think they got two guys in this draft that could legitimately see a decent amount of playing time next season.
Yeah, and I think going into the draft, you always wanted them to double dip because you saw that as a position of great weakness. Like, you felt like, you know, hey, they let Filon go. Damian Square, I think, is still unsigned. I mean, there's just a lot of uncertainty and lack of depth. So to see them go get Tillery in the first round and then double dip again to go get an athletic, lesser known guy in the seventh round in the form of Cortez Broughton, I like the move. I like the philosophy, first of all, and then I like the fact that they got a productive player that fell to the seventh round. So I like it. I'm hoping to see him do well. I like that first step, and I think there's a lot to be happy with that pick in the seventh round.
Yeah, and he's the guy that, with good coaching, I think could legitimately turn into a starter. So to get that in the seventh round, I mean, to add two guys, I mean, I think when you look at the defensive line right now, T.Y. McGill, Justin Jones, and Brandon Mebane is nothing to be excited about. But when you add Cortez Broughton and Jerry Tillery, I mean, a great talent in the first round, I just think that speaks tremendously for Tom Telesco and how he was able to draft that position and get impact players there, even, you know, if he didn't at other positions. But we do have one more thing to talk about, and that is the undrafted free agent. So we'll go over the long list coming up right after this. All right, guys, now it's time to get into the undrafted free agents. The Chargers obviously are known for keeping undrafted free agents and having guys make the team from that. I mean, we could talk about any number of players: Austin Eckler, Jaleel Adai, Tyrell Williams, Antonio Gates, Malcolm Floyd. I mean, they've just had so many diamonds in the rough come out of undrafted free agency. And I'm sure we've said this before, but just looking at it, it's hard to say right now if any one of these guys is going to be that player. But just to go over some of them, we got guard Chris Brown out of UFC, Andreas Bryant out of NC State, defensive tackle, Blake Camper, a tackle out of South Carolina, Josh Corcoran out of Northern Illinois, and then just some other notable ones, Daniel Helm, a tight end from Duke, Bradford Lemons out of Furman, I mean, a big-time name right there. And then the Tyler Newsome, the punter from Notre Dame. I think that one's interesting, guys. David, I mean, the Chargers had Donnie Jones punting for them at the end of last season. So I think when you're looking at this and saying, hey, one of these guys is probably going to make the team, I think you have to look at him, the punter Tyler Newsome, as a guy that, I mean, has to be, you know, in the first line of candidates.
Yeah, I think looking at these guys, I mean, you don't see a whole lot of guys that you believe are going to make an impact, but at the punter position, there is a real opportunity there. So seeing this guy who, looking at his numbers, had, I think, 19 punts inside the 20, also punted around league average. And, you know, if you're taking punters from last year, would have been, you know, in the back end, but still better than what the Chargers had last year with Donnie Jones and, you know, our other punter that they got rid of for no reason. But, yeah, I think this is the only guy looking at this list just from, you know, the outside looking in that, you know, can take this opportunity and really earn his way onto the team. And there's an opportunity there. He has to go grab it.
Well, and you know that they're going to bring in another body at some point, John, just because there has to be some kind of competition there. Because right now, this guy is the only punter on the roster. So right now, the job is his. But I definitely want to talk about something else with you. And that's just the positions that the Chargers brought in the undrafted free agent class. There's a couple positions that weren't addressed in the draft, like cornerback and offensive line, really, that we're not really sold on. So we get a couple guys like Chris Brown out of USC, the guard. You have the tackle Blake Camper out of South Carolina. And then you also have guard Coda Martin and center Tanner Volson. So it's not necessarily a very deep offensive line undrafted free agent class. And from what I've seen from most of these guys, I mean, Blake Camper didn't even start a full season at South Carolina. He is 6'8", so I guess, you know, you could see the physical tools of why you'd, you know, take a project like that. But it's, so far, it's hard to see any of these guys that specifically stand out that are guys that could potentially make the team.
Yeah, I got to do all my really deep studying on a lot of these guys to really figure out if I even think some are going to make it. But just to look at like names and schools and positions, I don't really have high hopes for this class. And I'm kind of wondering, why didn't the Chargers go after more offensive tackles and maybe more guards? Like, if you just went straight tackles and guards, maybe a couple of cornerbacks, and maybe they got one tight end. So let's go to, I think they got two, actually, if I remember correctly, but they at least got one. So you have somebody that you can maybe see as that extra person if Gates doesn't come back this year because you didn't draft one. But I really hope they could have gone for that diamond in the rough offensive lineman that we could have had for no risk at all. No risk. And you could have had your future offensive tackle a year ahead of time. But they went for just the most randomest positions ever. Like, why do we go for a safety when we just drafted one? We don't really need any more. And then going for wide receiver out of Findlay. What are we going to do with the wide receiver out of Findlay?
Hey, that's a good question.
We could have gotten way better wide receivers in this undrafted class besides him. So I'm really confused on why we went with what we did. But the intriguing thing to me is we did get the center from North Dakota State after we just drafted the quarterback from North Dakota State. So I wonder what's going on there.
I know that you think he's just a camp body to help Easton stick in preseason games, and you could maybe be right. But, as far as tight ends, you're right. There were two tight ends that the Chargers brought in, and honestly, neither one of them, I mean, stood out to me in pretty much any way, at least when I just looked up on the surface of them. I know that Daniel Helm, the tight end from Duke, 6'4", 255, good size, but had just 26 receptions for 271 yards last year, and that was by far his biggest year. And then you have a guy, Matt Sokol, out of Michigan State, who's 6'6", 260, giant guy, and he only had 8 receptions last season and had a career high of 21 in a season. So I don't know if any of these guys, I mean, really are, have been standouts that I have seen so far. I mean, even Jeremy Cox, a running back out of Old Dominion, you know that the Chargers like to bring in running backs. But, I mean, he was pretty unspectacular in what I saw from him as well, at least the stats that he put up at a tiny school in Old Dominion. I mean, averaged, I think, 4.4 yards per carry last season. So it's definitely nothing that jumps off the page at you. So I think – what?
There's something that could jump off the page to you. One guy that if I'm going to make a bold prediction right now of one guy that's not the punter that I think could make this roster, as you said, there's a streak of it. It could be the Clemson wide receiver, Trevion Thompson, just because of how fast he is. He could be that guy that you need as your backup wide receiver, that inactive wide receiver week, but he had ran like a 40-yard dash.
Yeah, and I saw that.
Yeah, and he's only like 6'2", but that's decent enough for me because Vincent Jackson and those guys were 6'4 and 6'6", so he's only a couple inches shorter than that with that speed. So I would say he's probably the guy to look at going into preseason and training camp.
Well, and it's like the Chargers have their things, right? You know, it's Notre Dame players right now, and it's Clemson wide receivers. That just seems to be where they always seem to go. I mean, we're talking about Mike Williams obviously getting drafted 7th overall, and then you have a guy like Artavis Scott who's been up and down practice squad and on the roster, and now you bring in a guy in Trevion Thompson. And that was somebody that I went to look at just like, oh, you know, this must be the guy they think, you know, could actually do something, and was pretty, I mean, underwhelmed just by the fact that, you know, he had 53 career catches, only 2 career touchdowns, and then averaged only 9.5 yards per catch. So, I mean, with a guy that has that kind of speed, I was definitely hoping to see more big plays than I did. It just didn't seem like he ever really got the playing time or, you know, really ever produced for Clemson. And we know that's a crowded wide receiver room over there. But, I mean, so far, we'll get more into these guys as the offseason goes along because we have nothing but time. But, I mean, so far it seems pretty unspectacular. But I think most of them seem that way at the beginning. But at the positions of need for the Chargers, it doesn't look like they're going to get many answers from this class. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. On future shows, we're going to be talking to media members who actually work and cover the schools that these players came from in the draft and kind of see what we need to expect. And we'll also be doing some draft grades and some players that we wish the Chargers could have landed and didn't, and give some scope on, you know, what the AFC West has done and other, you know, big talking points from the draft and a lot of the big things that happened there. But that is going to do it for today. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, and also subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether that's Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, so you can always get the latest shows right as they come out. That's the best way to do it. And to give us your thoughts on the draft, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. We have a couple voicemails that we're going to wait to play until we get a few more. But tell us what you think the Chargers got as a grade for the draft. Tell us if you're happy or excited and who you're most excited to see get on the field for the Chargers. But stay tuned for more draft coverage from us. We're definitely excited to get into it now that it's all said and done. Make sure to stay tuned throughout the week so you get the rest of the shows talking about the 2019 draft. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.